message. It's the last one. It's called Examining Our Prayer Tools, Part 3. If you would turn to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 18. We've gone on this, but I want us to really understand that we're working systematically to take our prayer life from the level where we are, which could be non-existent to paltry or whatever, to an effort of really seeking God and pressing into God for what He wants. Amen? Father, we just come before You, and Holy Spirit, just use me, fill my mouth and fill my heart with what You want to say to Your church today. God, nothing more, nothing less. May we come away with a greater understanding and a willingness to implement what You are saying to the church today. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 6:18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." We have covered 4 different tools in prayer, and hopefully we are beginning to start seeing some sort of result, either resulting in us changing or actual answered prayer coming to be. No problem. We've learned to eliminate assumption when we come into agreeing with somebody. We know that really does not answer prayer. God honors it, but He really wants to take us to a deeper and more rewarding prayer life. He wants us to come to Him. He desires us to come to Him. Jesus was very profound in that emphasis, and He not only emphasized it, He lived it. We went from there to understand that the prayer of faith was a thing that the moment we begin to ask God, our faith is initiated, and we don't ask anymore. We believe that it's coming. We thank Him for answering that prayer. That prayer may take one day, it may take 1 year, it may take 100 years, but whatever it is going, we must believe that God has heard our prayer and He is willing to answer it. We don't know when that's going to happen, and many of the individuals in chapter 11 of Hebrews talking about faith, they had faith, but a lot of them did not inherit that which they were believing God for. And so we must eliminate this fast food mentality that once we pray it, it comes. No, understand, God lives in eternity, and He will use time and space. All we need to do is implement the prayer of thanksgiving, which we saw in that, is praising Him for the answers already coming, praise Him for who He is, praise Him in good times and bad times, praise Him whether you feel like it or not, praise Him. And then we looked at our tools for going in and really making ourselves a positive impact on things. And today what I want to do is begin to understand that when we direct ourselves, and this is where Dan and Nikki find themselves, that they're not sure what God's doing. But in praying a prayer of dedication, they're going to step out and believe God. God's going to do something. And that's where we have to be. Peter didn't believe God wanted him to walk on water, so he asked him, "Do you want me to do this?" And he said, "Come." And he stepped out on water, and he's the only other person I know that's walked on water besides Christ. I've tried, I sink. I'm too heavy. I got too much stuff in me. So today I want us to touch on two more issues that really may help us a little bit. And in those issues, or tools, I mean, we're going to look at the prayer of intercession. If you would turn to Ephesians, just flip back to Ephesians 1, verses 15 through 18. Put your finger in there and then go flip back further to Philippians 1, 3 through 6. We will get started. Ephesians 1, 15 through 18. I'm reading out of the NIV. It says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you." Giving thanks. Okay, he's using that prayer. "Remembering you in my prayers," all prayers, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray also that your eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope in which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. And in Philippians 1, 3 through 6, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that He who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to the completion unto the day of Jesus Christ. Do you see anything in these two prayers that has to deal with our material needs? There is not one thing in interceding for the saints or interceding that God's will come in has to deal with our discomfort, has to deal with our lack, has to deal with our need. You see, this is spiritual intercession. There is no greater need than people coming into the kingdom of God. And God wants us to understand that when we intercede, and I'm not saying that the prayer of intercession is not important where you are when you're interceding about your needs and all. Again, I allude back to Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all this stuff. The emphasis and onus is on us seeking Him first and what He wants and operating from His principles the way He wants it done in order that all these things will come. If we can get that handle on the physical aspect and aligning our physical realms of our lives along with the kingdom realms, soon the kingdom realms take over our physical realms. And you will enter into an area where I've entered into probably about 5, maybe 10 years ago, where I don't pray for my needs any longer. I pray for myself. I ask that the Lord continue to fill me with His Spirit and continue to give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation as I pray that for you. So that you may know Him better. The object here isn't whether we have a bunch of stuff. The object here is having Him. And being like Paul, I live and I move and have my being in Him. Nothing more important than us having our spiritual lives lining up with Him so that His will can be done on earth as it is in heaven. Can we say amen? And so what happens is we need to understand that this prayer of intercession that Paul's talking about here is one that meets spiritual needs. It is a higher level. It is a higher realm in which spiritual needs come in. And I remember when I was discipling a lot of the young men, they would be talking on one plane that they needed this, and I was talking on another plane that this is all you need. And they would get frustrated, and I'd give them the boot, and they'd come back a week, a month, a year later, finally catching that revelation of what I had said previous was still holding true, and they would not progress any further until they had that truth. Because we're building line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And I understand that it's quite difficult for us to get out of our carnal mindset. But that's what God wants us to do. He has killed us on the cross with Jesus Christ. That which what we are or was is not what we are today. We are spiritual, supernatural people waiting to explode out of these bodies. But we allow this stuff, this physical realm, to dictate to us what is important. And when we don't have answered prayer, we tend to throw that down, never to pick it up. And so what we really need to understand is that God has a process that He Himself adheres to. When God set up heaven and all, He created with principles and laws and stuff. And when He created the universe and He set the world up, He too did the same thing. He guided or made everything guided by principles and laws. And it says in Psalm 138, verse 2, I believe it is, that it says that God holds up His name, but His word above His name. In other words, God is great. He's greater than anything, but He Himself submits to His own principles, and He expects us to do the same. If He submits Himself to His word and to His principle, His laws, what they say in the Old Testament, then He will not violate your will. He will allow circumstances and situations to come into your life in order to beat your soul into submission to His will. And He has beat my brains in, I'll tell you, He has. He has allowed Satan to do a hatchet job on me. He has allowed all that stuff. And then I come back to Him with a bloody nose and crying. And, Dad, did you see what you did to me? And really, I did it to myself because I did not want to submit to Him. God will not violate His will, His word, His character, and He will not violate yours. And it's really interesting. I see how the flow of the Spirit's going because of certain things. And we're talking about evangelism, and today we're talking about intercession. Ezekiel 22:30 says, I look for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. But I found none. It's very interesting that, you know, we can get caught up into this physical thing, but the reality of it is what he's saying here through the prophet, is that I looked for somebody who was going to spiritually intercede for the souls of men, who was going to build them up, who was going to stand in the gap between heaven and earth to keep me from pronouncing judgment upon the planet. And I found none. It's a sad accusation that comes from us, from our Father, that we are not interceding on behalf of the souls of men. Proverbs says it is a wise man who wins souls. I don't want you to come away feeling guilty or condemned. I want you to see where you are in your walk and say, I'm going higher. I'm going to take this tool and I'm going to intercede. I am going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to do those things as the Spirit of God stirs my heart, because that is a priority to my Father. Peter tells us that God desires no man to die, but all come to repentance in Jesus Christ. All men. Good, the bad, the indifferent, the wicked. He takes no joy in destroying the wicked, as we see here. He's looking for the church to intercede for souls. And why is it that the church isn't growing? It is in recession. It is retreating. It's because we're not praying. We're not praying to seek God, to have Him move upon the land, to have His Spirit begin to stir. And because we don't have a heart for the lost don't come. Again, I don't want you to feel guilty, because all of us are coming to this place that we know that, you know what, I may not be able to go out in the highways and byways and compel them to come in, but I can pray. That is something the church should be doing, is praying, seeking the face of God, seeking family members, seeking employees, students, people that are near and dear to our lives, and those who despitefully use us, Jesus said, pray for them. Not whine and complain and murmur about anything. For 4,000 years, God has set in motion this principle of the salvation. He gave Adam the garden, and He told him that He had dominion and authority over everything in the garden. And what happened? Adam didn't stay close to God. Satan came in, deceived him, and he gave over the title deed of what should have been ours. The earth should have been our inheritance. And there was no one standing in the gap. So God's plan for 4,000 years was that the Messiah would come, He would break the curse over us, and he, when he went to hell, would rise from the dead, and he would take the title deed from Satan. And we saw that all through Daniel and all through parts of Revelation, and covering that little bit of prophecy so that we could see where we are as a church right now. And I'm talking about church worldwide. But attached to that title deed was a lease clause. And in a lease clause, and correct me if I'm wrong, it gives the person the right to stay there until the owner comes back to evict them. Right? So Satan has a lease clause that he is allowed to inhabit the land. He's called the prince of this world. But Jesus said something real important. He says, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. At that time, he will evict, because he will cancel out that lease and throw the devil out. Now, we know the devil is the author of sickness, disease, and death, because when sin came in, that came in with it. But do you also understand that God is not the author of hurricanes? God is not the author of tornadoes? God is not the author of blizzards and snowstorms? He's not the author of wars? That all came because of the fall. You see, I read the Bible and I see tranquility, peace, harmony. I see everything flowing and functioning in such euphoric pleasure that there was nothing that entered in. But when Satan took over, he takes great joy in allowing chaos to rule and reign. He takes great joy in human suffering. He takes great joy in seeing us run around abusing one another, accusing one another. He takes great joy in that. Imagine a world without war. Imagine a world without pestilence. Imagine a world that has food for everybody. Imagine a world that someone greater is ruling and reigning, and there is equity amongst each and every person. That we care more for each other than ourselves. That we all come together worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is what God is going to restore when he makes a new heaven and a new earth, because sin's not going to be there. His desire is for leaders to repent. His desire is for whole nations to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But unless the church stands in the gap, unless the church intercedes for these souls of men, unless the church goes and preaches the good news, God will bring judgment. He's going to do that. He's going to bring judgment. And our prayer lives need to take on a sense of urgency. We need to use our prayer language of the Spirit. We need to intercede for the saints. We need to do those things, because if we do not pray, the alternative is not good. Well, you may just say, well, you know what, I'm satisfied with my prayer life. Why is it such a big deal? Well, all of us are familiar with AM, FM radio, right? And we know that when we first had AM radio, boy, that was great. But then all of a sudden, the rock stations, all the good stations came in, but they were on FM, right? You can't get them in AM. You have to have the ability to receive FM, right? Let's take that back to God. God is AM, FM. He wants to get our taste in the AM, but he's not satisfied with that. He wants us to pray in the Spirit. Isn't that what it said in Ephesians 6:18? Pray always in the Spirit. That's the FM. God prefers us to be on an FM station, an FM frequency. Well, I don't pray in the Spirit. Why not? Have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? No, I haven't. Well, then why not? I'm afraid. What are you afraid of? Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. Every good and perfect gift. He's not going to give you something that you should be afraid of. He wants to give you something that will enhance your spirit in order to take on the position that he has created you for power and dominion, to have authority, to wage war. You have the right to wage war. You just don't have power yet. And look at your lives. Look at where you're at. Do you have power in your lives, or are you letting everything else run you ragged? Are other people dictating how you should be instead of God dictating how you should be? And I'm just speaking about our prayer lives. Because, you see, as the church prays, that's how it is. And if we're not praying, guess what? We're losing a mighty tool that God wants us to have. So take that tool. Begin to intercede. Begin to pray for the souls of men. Begin to come in. Pray aloud. Walk through your house. And Jesse saw this when we're in the house. I'm going through the house. I'm praying in the spirit all hours of the night, trying to keep it down. And she'd come out one night and she says, "Dad, what are you doing?" "Never mind. I know what you're doing." And she went back to bed. If our kids don't see us doing it, they will just think it's not important. I got saved and that's it. This is not the time for the church to rescind from its responsibility. This is the time for the church to embrace its responsibility before God. Amen? So take this tool and use it and begin to start interceding for the souls of men. You'll be surprised what God will say to you in those times of intercession. He will give you that spirit of wisdom and revelation. He will open your mouth and you will say things that you never thought would come out. But He will do it. We just need to be flowing with Him. Amen? Turn to Matthew 18:18. This last prayer is about the prayer of binding and loosing. Matthew 18:18. This is the Lord speaking. He says, "I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven." This prayer is important because of delegated power and authority. I know it falls in the realm of church discipline, but church discipline is an outcropping of spiritual undisciplinedness. Okay? The elders of the church had the responsibility to issue church discipline. But if we take it back to from the garden, we have a power and authority over things seen and unseen. That means the devil. And so what needs to be done here is there has to be an understanding that you have the power within you as you intercede to bind demonic forces and loose angelic forces. You also have the power to stop curses or release blessings. This is what this whole thing is talking about. Church discipline is speaking one way all the time, in purity and in holiness. This truth has only just recently been reclaimed in the church for the last 30 years. And we have to come to understand that Jesus wasn't just implementing an authority to certain individuals. Because this word says, "I tell you, whatever you loose, whatever you bound," you is plural. In the Greek here, it's more than one person. It's not just me. And I believe Jesus was speaking prophetically and saying that this was the church. He was speaking to his apostles, which was the nucleus of the church, but he was speaking to the church. Whatever you bind, whatever you loose. The problem is we don't have right thinking, so we don't say the right things. And because we don't have the right thinking and say the right things, wrong things manifest. When we're praying and interceding for God to move, what does your prayers look like? In Acts 16, it talks about how Paul was dreaming. And there was a guy from Macedonia who was saying, "Paul, come over here. We need help from you, Paul." He wasn't sure how he was going to get over there, but he knew that the Spirit of God was calling him to move in that realm, to get over there. And Paul, being the type of person that he was, much the same as what I would say myself is, I see it, I'm going. I don't care if any of you go, I'm going. And he was bent on doing what God was saying to do. And he bound. He asked the elders to bind those things, to open doors so that the gospel would go forth into Greece and to all the worlds. He bound those ruling authorities that have dominion over there so that he could go in and be used as a sword against demonic strongholds so that the gospel could be preached. There is also an abuse to binding and releasing. And we see that out of Acts 19, where the seven sons of Sceva go in there and they're confronted by the demoniac. Now they're supposing, because they hear the disciples using the name of Jesus, that they have that same power and authority. Who has the power and authority? The church. You have to be part of the church. God has delegated that power and authority to the church. But these men are coming in. I can't think of the word I want. They come in and they confront a demoniac and they say, "We adjure you, we cast you out in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches." And the demon says, "Jesus I know and Paul I know. But I don't know you." And what was the outcome? They got whooped on. They got their clothes taken. They got kicked out of town by one person filled with demonic power. You see, what I'm trying to get you to understand is you can't use the power and authority unless you're involved. Well, you hold me accountable. You darn right I'm going to hold you accountable. Because you know what? God's holding me accountable. You know, for too long the church has sat around in the pews and not done its responsibility. It's kind of like the couch potato husband sitting there. He goes to work, makes a few bucks, comes home. "Oh, I'm the king of my castle. I don't have to do anything." And the wife is slaving over and over and over again. And he's expecting results of intimacy and his kids being in line, the whole nine yards. And then when he makes his move, she's too tired and the kids are in bed and stuff. Something's got to change. And I'm speaking my own life because that's how I was. And if you can relate to that understanding, then understand that I am so consumed with the power of God and I love God so much that I will bind anything. I want my mind totally renewed that I think and walk Jesus Christ in the kingdom. I want my family to be blessed. I don't want to curse my families. I don't want the families of God being cursed anymore. That's why I emphasize what comes out of your mouth is important. If you're cursing your own children, don't expect God to bless you. Absolutely. Jesus said, "In the power of the tongue is life and death." What are you binding? Are you binding your old way of thinking, or are you releasing that? Because, you know, I've told you, and I've tried to be as honest and as gentle as possible with the church and understanding that, you know what? If you're not getting the results that you're expecting and you're still doing the same thing over and over, who's the lunatic? If you're not getting help from those who have the ability to help you, and you're still doing your own thing, who's at fault? The church is not at a place, and in my teaching when I go out to the Band of Brothers, is the church has not understood truly what covenational relating is all about. They're in covenant to Jesus to a certain degree. They are not in covenant unto Jesus. Meaning, in covenant, I am totally submitted to Him, and He is totally submitted to me. And there becomes a mutuality of love and grace that flows that both benefit. And it's a love relationship that it's going to cost you everything that you are and everything that you have. Because it cost Him everything that He is and everything that He owns to bring us into that relationship. If you're wrestling with sin issues, the issue is not binding those sin issues. The issue is understanding you died over 2,000 years ago on the cross. Those sin issues are not yours. The issue here is allowing the Spirit of Christ to live through you. You already have the victory. If you look at Hebrews, it says, by His stripes we were healed. That is a past tense verb. On the cross when He died, we were healed. But we allow the enemy to twist what we're reading and not comprehend what God is saying to us. Because it's true. It's so good to hear what God's saying, but it's so good you can't believe it. You know, it's too good to be true. I can tell you, everything in the Bible, even the stuff I do not have revelation on yet, is true. And I want to understand it, because when I have the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, I get to understand Him. I get to understand what the inheritance I have is with You. I get to understand the power and authority that He has delegated to me and to us in these last days. And so it doesn't come to a place of, well, you know, I've got this gift or I got that gift and I can do this or do that. It doesn't come to that because it's all His anyhow. We need to use it in a way that church is built up, that the doors of hell are kicked in, because Jesus said, my church will kick in the gates of hell and it shall not prevail against it. I want you to examine your life. Use these prayer tools in a way that will take you to the next level. We're going from grace to more grace. We're going from faith to faith. And we have to understand that God is not in a rush. And I apologize if it seems like my earnestness is trying to push you and move you. But at the same token, it is prophetic to understand that, you know, this is coming. This is what God is doing, and this is what He expects of the church. You know, if you look at the events of the last year as to what God has done for us, and the 3 years previous to that, praying to be part of a network, praying to have a place of our own, praying to legitimize the ministry, praying that we become more proactive in the ministry. And what has happened? In this last year alone, God has brought us to a network that is mature and helping us to mature more. God has brought us the opportunity to purchase a building that will legitimize the ministry. God is bringing us to a place that our prayer life is going to go up a little bit higher, but it is going to impact so much more. That when you come to the place of where God has brought me, that I no longer pray for my needs. I mean, at the last meeting, I was humbled by the suggestion of, because the church has been brought into our house, that the church should do something. And you know what? I received that out of love in that, not only because of the Spirit of Christ stirring the hearts of the saints, and whether it's right or wrong is not the point. The point is that I've given my life to the ministry. I've given my life to you guys so that if Christ should tarry, you would at least have the tools that you need to take this ministry even further than what he's been so graciously to reveal to me. And to work with brothers and sisters from other churches who are seeing and moving in the same vein as us is an honor and a privilege. That if you look at your friends and you, those who are in other churches are not moving in the realms that we are about to enter in. They don't have the tools and they don't have the skills. And most importantly, they don't have the passion for God as I see with you guys. And that's important. God loves us. He loves us tremendously. But that doesn't mean that we just take that and do our own thing with it and not grow up. The men are going to go and really get a dose of vision this coming week like never before. They got a dose of the Spirit and what it means to enter into camaraderie with other men of God. I believe this week will be a week in which the Spirit of God will ignite vision, not night vision, but ignite vision in such a way that they will understand exactly what it is that God is calling into their lives and how we can work together, lock arms and work together for His glory and His praise. If we don't begin to really seek, and I'm talking about truly seeking for the souls of men, that Dad's house would be filled, that none would perish. If we don't truly go and open up our mouths and talk to people and share with them and invite them to be a part of what we're doing here. And I'm past the point now, be truthful with you, I'm past the point of worrying about whether we're going to sheep steal from another church or just keep our vision on unchurched, unsaved. I think God has expanded me to understand that if you see sheep that are in a pasture that's barren and the shepherd is not moving them to another field to feed, we have a responsibility before God to help feed those sheep. We do not have the responsibility to take them from the shepherd that's there. But if we can help them move into a field that they can eat and until the such time as that shepherd comes about, then I really believe that's a good thing. So I just want to encourage you that there's no greater joy than to hear the sinner commit their lives to Jesus Christ. It brings such a smile to our Father's face that, and a joy to our hearts, and the angels sing. There's no greater honor that we have than to share that good news. What has Jesus done for you, and what is it that God wants of them? And that's really just sharing your testimony. And the greatest responsibility is God mandated it before He ascended, that we were to go and compel them. It's not my order, it's His. This is not an option. It's for the church to do. And if the church doesn't do it, who will? Father, we just come before You, and I thank You for giving us greater understanding and revelation to Your Word. I thank You, God, that You have given us tools and weapons that shall not falter, Lord, but they are mighty and powerful for pulling down strongholds and vain imaginations, even bringing people into correction, Lord God, bringing all things unto Jesus Christ, God, enabling us to punish those that are disobedient, Lord. Father, I release upon the church Your Holy Spirit this very moment, God. I release that spirit of revelation and knowledge and wisdom. I bind that spirit of doubt and unbelief in Jesus' name. I bind that spirit of darkness and fear in Jesus' name. And loose the light of the gospel, your glorious anointing, God, upon the church of Jesus Christ. God, I unbind tongues that have not spoken in power and in might. I loose that in Jesus' name. I bind that spirit of selfishness and self-centeredness and loose a spirit of confidence in Jesus' name. I bind every weapon formed against us, God, that it not prosper. And loose the prosperity of our soul and spirit, that all men may come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God, my desire, and I pray the desire of Streams, is that your house be full. That God, that we have patience and understanding to deal with new spiritual children, God. That we would all want to go and make disciples of them, God. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us, God. I thank you that you have brought us to a time as this, that we are not here by accident, God, that you have predestined us to be here, Lord, that you have called us by name, that you have entrusted us with the most precious thing, and that is the gospel. Lord, may your word go forth throughout the world as we go forth sharing the good news and singing of your high praises, God. We will be like Paul and Silas that were in prison, God, singing their high praises and thanksgiving unto you. And an earthquake happened, God. And in that earthquake, you saved the jailer and his family, God. Cause a shaking in the church, God. Cause an earthquake in the spirit like never before, God, that people would get saved, God. Those who are in prison, those who have the power to manipulate and control other people, God, I pray that their souls would come under submission of Jesus Christ and that you would receive all power and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.